following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we're off and running. It is a Tuesday. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler here on the Progressive Voices Network and, of course, NicoleSandler.com. We got off to a little late start today because our pre-show set of music in honor of our friends in Atlanta and surrounding areas in Georgia who are at the polls today. We had a musical salute to them, wrapping up with Little Feat's "Oh Atlanta," and I certainly couldn't cut that off in mid-song. Hopefully, it got a couple of people off the couch into the voting booth today, as John Ossoff takes on Karen Handel to flip Georgia's sixth. We'll see what happens tonight. You know, this is the most expensive congressional race in history, and that's not a good thing. It would be really nice if these things could be done without any contributions. If the think about it, $50 million was raised for this one congressional race alone. Think of all the health care that could buy. And I bring up health care because here we are. I'm going to share with you Greg Sargent's piece from this morning at the Washington Post. He writes the Plumline blog, and it's really good. It's an opinion piece, but it's steeped in facts, as all opinion pieces should be. But the headline reads, sorry, folks, the GOP's devious strategy for ramming Trump care through is working. And he's got more details. He writes, we already knew that Senate Republicans were going to try to ram through their health care bill by resorting to a scandalously secretive, absurdly compressed process. But now we have the details. According to the Wall Street Journal, the text of the bill will be released this Thursday. The Congressional Budget Office will release a score of the bill next Monday or Tuesday, and the Senate may well vote on it next Thursday. Unfortunately, he writes, there are signs this morning that the Republican strategy is already working precisely as intended. First, let's note that the secrecy adopted by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is explicitly designed to shield the Senate GOP health care bill from as much debate and public scrutiny as possible. The text of the bill will be available for all of 1 week before it's likely to be voted upon, after having been drafted in such secrecy that even Republican senators complained that they were being kept in the dark. There have not been, and apparently will not be, any hearings before the vote. In fact, I'm going to veer away from Greg Sargent for a moment and play for you this one quick clip. This is John McCain.
He used to complain like hell when the Democrats ran the Affordable Care Act. Now they're doing the same thing.
All right, if you couldn't hear it, we used to complain like hell when the Democrats ran the Affordable Care Act. Now we're doing the same thing. But no, you're not. The New York Times tells us, before Congress adopted the Affordable Care Act, Democrats held numerous public hearings, and the Senate debated the measure on the floor for 25 days. 25 days of debate. Senate Republican leaders plan to push through their repeal bill under arcane budget rules that would limit debate on it to 20 hours. So there will be fewer hours of public debate on this Republican bill than there were days of debate on the Affordable Care Act. But they're pushing this opposite world alt reality, saying that, this is exactly what the Democrats did. They pushed it through with no debate. That's not true. 25 days of debate. Look, I was on Air America Radio during you know, the end of 2009 and the beginning of 2010, Air America went off the air in, it was January 21st, 2010. The Affordable Care Act was signed, it became law in March of 2010. It was written and debated for 10 months. They wrote it in three separate committees. In fact, I even remember there was a group called Read the Bill that a bunch of us took sections of it and recorded it so people could listen to it. It was lengthy. It was a massive piece of legislation, but it was there. It was available for months for us all to read, and certainly with enough time for a group of, I don't know how many of us there were, a few dozen anyway, reading sections of the bill and posting it so people who didn't have time to read it could actually listen to it. It was out in the public for debate, for discussion, for amendments. There were dozens and dozens and dozens, if not more, Republican amendments. And in some of the committees, three committees wrote this bill, and then they all came together in conference and they came up with one. So when you hear them talk about, oh, this is just what the Democrats did. No, it isn't. The Democrats had open debate. They keep going back to that stupid Nancy Pelosi statement where she said, you know, you'll see what's in it once it passes. She was talking about the people who didn't want to read it. It was there to read. It was available. It was posted online. And the Read the Bill, I think it was readthebill.com, if I remember correctly. And it was there. You could listen to it. You could read it. So this is a fake premise that they're pushing. And people with short memories or who weren't paying attention back in 2009, 2010, just don't know any better. I promise you, this is not what the Democrats did. What the Republicans are doing is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Let me go back to Greg Sargent, because, sorry, I was a little passionate about that. What's more, Greg Sargent writes, lawmakers and the public may only have 2 or 3 days to absorb the details and significance of the CBO's conclusions. Given that this will be the most rich and detailed empirical analysis available of the bill's likely impact on tens of millions of people and 1/6 of the U.S. economy, you'd think this document would be deserving of extensive consideration in all its complexity. But this rolling scandal doesn't end there. This compressed schedule is not only designed to limit debate on the bill. As the Wall Street Journal reports, the vote is being rushed for the express purpose of getting it done before the July 4th recess, because failure to do so, quote, could open Republican lawmakers up to pressure from constituents. Don't want those nasty constituents getting wind of it, some of whom might be, quote, concerned about losing their health coverage. You see, they want to do it because before the July 4th recess, because they don't want to have to go home and be met with angry constituents telling them, do not vote for this. I guess they'd rather the angry constituents after the fact, after it's too late, then they're sure to be voted out of office. Hey, Republicans, you know what? Wait until after July 4th. Listen to what your constituents say, because they're the ones who sent you to Washington. And they're the ones who can send you home. Greg Sargent continues, thus, the schedule is also explicitly designed to shield lawmakers from public exposure and questioning about the immense human toll the measure they are considering could have before they vote on it. There's more there. Just go follow Greg Sargent on Twitter. Plumline GS is his Twitter handle for GS for Greg Sargent. What's his name? Dick Durbin, who is the number two guy in the Senate behind Chuck Schumer, was asked, what can we do, you and I, what can we do to stop this?
At the end of the day, what can the Democrats really do to affect the outcome of this bill? The Republicans are obviously trying to pass it through reconciliation without a single Democratic vote. So for all of the eloquent speeches and points being made about secrecy, what can you guys actually do to either prevent this from being repealed and replaced or to change the nature of the final bill?
Steve, the magic number's three.
Three
Republican senators can stop what looks like an effort to push through and steamroll a bill that could change health care all across America, a bill that literally has not been read or seen by the members of the United States Senate. If three Republican senators stand up and say this is the wrong way to pass legislation. It should be done on a more open basis, as we did with the passage of the Affordable Care Act. Then we can stop it.
You heard what Dick Durbin said, right?
Three is a magic number.
You remember this song,
it is.
Right?
It's a magic number.
Because three, there are 52 Republican Senate votes, plus they have Mike Pence, who would be the tiebreaker if it were 50-50. So they need three Republican senators to say no to this madness. There have to be three, right? So what you need to do is call your senators. If you have Democratic senators, great, call them and let them know you stand behind them, slowing things down, doing whatever they can to stop this momentum, to stop them from taking this vote before the 4th of July recess. Because chances are, if these senators are forced to go home once this bill is out there and people can see exactly what's in it, chances are they're going to be told in no uncertain terms, do not vote for this piece of crap. If they wait till after, it's, you know, what do they say? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. There may not be forgiveness, but we need to not give them permission. Now, if you have a Republican senator, look, I live in Florida. I've been calling Marco Rubio's office every day and I tell them my story. I say, and I'm very nice. And, you know, I can be a real bitch sometimes, but I put on my sweet face and I say, I'm a constituent. I was diagnosed last year with lung cancer. I have to go for a CAT scan every 3 months. Now it's every 4 months. I'll tell you more about that a little later. If you kill off the Affordable Care Act, I'm not going to be able to get insurance. I have more than one pre-existing condition now, and I will be uninsurable. And at the ripe old but not old enough age of 57, I'm still 8 years away from Medicare, 7.5. You may as well just kill me now. I know Senator Rubio has a better heart than that. I know he doesn't want me dead. I know he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want his constituents killed off. And a lot of us will be if you take away our health care. And see, when you call, they register the phone calls. The best ways to get a hold of your senator, one, go to the office. That's the best. If you can show up at one of the district offices and make your plea in person, so much the better. If you can't do that, you can call. They tally the phone calls. They keep track of them. So call, make a comment, do it every single day. They may get to know you. That's okay. They tally the phone calls. If you want to write to them, emails are pretty much worthless. So don't even waste your time. Online petitions may make you feel better, but it doesn't do any good. You can send a postcard. Postcards go through. Letters do not, because of the anthrax scare and worse a few years ago. Letters take forever to get to a congressional office because of the security checks they have to go through. So best, number one, in person. Number two, and it's a close second, is a phone call, and phone calls help. And number three, send a postcard. But the easiest is just call. Call, call, call. 202-224-3121, I believe, is the congressional switchboard. And you just give them your senator's name and they'll put you through. And you know what? If you don't know your senator's name, well, you can look it up. Just Google who is my senator and put down your state and it'll give you two names. Call them. Call them every day. It is that important. Bernie Sanders was on Face the Nation on Sunday.
We know the legislation that passed the House. It was the worst piece of legislation, frankly, against working class people that I can remember in my political life in the Congress. Throwing 23 million people off of health insurance is beyond belief. Now, in the Senate, what you have is you have, I believe it is 10 Republicans working behind closed doors to address 1/6 of the American economy. That's what health care is. Republicans, the average Republican doesn't even know what's in that legislation. My understanding is that it will be brought forth just immediately before we have to vote on it. This is completely unacceptable. I mean, nobody can defend a process which will impact tens of millions of Americans, and nobody even knows what's in the legislation. And, John, the important point here is the reason they don't want to bring it public is because it is a disastrous bill, I suspect, similar to what passed in the House. Who is going to defend cutting Medicaid by $800 billion at the same time as you give massive tax breaks to the wealthiest 2%?
So they want to. So there you go. I mean, look, Bernie Sanders knows of what he speaks. This could be the beginning of the end. At first I was thinking there's no way they're going to get this through. There have to be more than three reasonable Republicans. But Mitch McConnell is sly like a fox, and he's not going to bring it to the floor if he doesn't think he has the votes. I hate to say it, but he knows what he's doing. So this is all hands on deck time. By the way, Laffy, who's going to be with us in just a few minutes, just put in the chat room that there is an app. There is an app for that. If you text RESIST to 50409, they help you write to your senators. I just did it. I texted RESIST to 50409. It says, "Hi, I'm RESIST bot, and I'll help you write to your officials. What name would you like to use to sign your letters? Nicole Sandler." Now, you put your name in, obviously. So I put Nicole Sandler. I'll see what it does. In the meantime, so that's what's going on today. This is going to be top of mind. Okay, welcome to the resistance, Nicole. Nice to meet you. Would you tell me your zip code so I can look up who represents you in the U.S. Senate? 33071. Look how easy this is. You see, they make it foolproof. They make it, you know, doofus proof. Even Donald Trump could do it. Yeah. So I put in my zip code 33071 and it says success. Your senators in Florida are Bill Nelson and Marco Rubio. I'm ready to go. Text fax to compose a new fax. Oh, they're faxing them. Faxing them is another great way because they get the paper right there in the office and those get what would you like to say? All right. Well, I'm not going to do this right now, but I will finish it later. So they let you say what you wanted to say. And I guess they'll fax the thing right over for you and sign it with your name. They'll send it right to your senators. They'll do letters, faxes. I like the faxes because you tie up those Senate office fax numbers, get them going all day long. Believe me, they take notice. They notice these things. There's so much at stake here. I mentioned now every 4 months. I'll do this quickly. I had my follow-up appointment with my oncologist this morning. I had my third post-surgical CAT scan 2 weeks ago. I was supposed to see him last week, but it got postponed till today. And I got in there. He said, "You're looking great. The CAT scan looks clear. Nothing of concern. Everything looks wonderful. They did my blood. My blood looks great. Everything is as it should be." He said, "Now, August 30th. How can I forget that date? It is my 1 year anniversary. So we're going to do my next CAT scan in 4 months instead of three." He said, "And if that one's clear, like he expects it to be, then we can think about going to every 6 months. For the second year." Because what they do is when you're lucky, like I am, I had two separate and distinct lung cancer tumors, one in the lower lobe of my left lung, the other in the upper lobe. They removed the entire lower lobe and did what's called a wedge resection of the upper lobe. So I'm missing a lobe and a half, basically, or a lobe and a quarter of my lung. And that's the only time they ever even think of using the word cured. We caught it so early, thank you, Randy, because we thought I had a heart attack. They did an x-ray of my chest. The chest x-ray showed a mass on my lung. That's the only way we found it. If that hadn't happened to me, chances are I'd still be walking around not knowing that I had two tumors growing in my lung. So they believe they got it all, that it hasn't spread. And so far, knocking on wood laminate here, so far, so good. But here's the deal. If they kill the Affordable Care Act, then not only do I have lung cancer as a pre-existing condition, but I've got other pre-existing conditions as well. And at 57 years old, I'm not going to be able to, and self-employed such as it is, I won't be able to buy insurance. That means those every 6 month CAT scans, I won't be getting because I won't be able to afford them. So this is a matter of life and death. not only for me, but for millions of people out there. So if you haven't yet called your senators, please do so now. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get what's news out of the way and come back with Gotta Laugh because it's Tuesday. We'll be right back. It's Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Senate Democrats vowed Monday to use every tool available to slow work in the Senate to protest the secrecy surrounding the Republican effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act as the Republicans try to get to a vote before their July 4th recess. Monday night, Democratic senators offered multiple unanimous consent requests aimed at forcing the Obamacare repeal bill through the regular committee process that Republicans have sidestepped this year, though all were blocked by the GOP.
So I'm going to ask that we agree today that the bill won't come to the floor until the Health Committee has had an open meeting and considered amendments from both parties.
Is there objection? Objections heard.
I ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Objections heard.
I'd like to ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Objection is heard.
I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Objection is heard.
Historian emeritus of the Senate, Don Ritchie, said the Senate has not taken such a partisan closed-door approach to major legislation since before World War I. Bernie Sanders said he'd do everything in his power to stop this legislation from going through.
We're talking about 1/6 of the American economy, trillions of dollars. You're talking about an issue that impacts virtually every single American. And in the midst of all of this, you have a process by which right now perhaps a dozen Republicans are the only people in America who know what is being talked about, what the new bill might look like. Most Republicans don't even know it, let alone anybody in the Democratic caucus. This is outrageous beyond outrageous. This is unprecedented, I think, in the history of modern America, that you have a bill of such consequence where there is not one hearing, no public debate. What will likely happen is that at the very last moment, on the day of the vote, Mitch McConnell will present a bill. The Republicans will, like sheep, vote for this legislation. And that's what the debate on one of the most important issues facing America will be like. It is incomprehensible.
Senator Tammy Baldwin urged everyone to call their senators.
This evening, in terms of holding the floor, bringing the stories of our constituents to the Senate floor, demanding that those stories be heard, hopefully inspiring people to act, to call, to write, to be involved in this democracy, because the last thing we can afford to do right now is to say this is an uphill battle and the odds are long. We've got to engage in this fight. It's 1/6 of our nation's economy. It impacts everyone on a very personal basis. And my call to action, my colleagues' call to action, is that let's make our democracy work in this particular debate. People need to speak out.
The phone number for the Senate switchboard is 202-224-3121. Call your senators now. Otto Warmbier, the American student held in North Korea for 17 months before being returned home last week in a coma, has died, prompting senators from both sides of the aisle to call it murder by the regime. Warmbier's death could push Congress or the Trump administration to restrict or ban Americans from traveling to North Korea. The Supreme Court will take on partisan gerrymandering, announcing on Monday that they'll decide whether Republican lawmakers drew electoral districts in Wisconsin so out of whack with the state's political breakdown that they violated the constitutional rights of Democratic voters. The case will be the first on partisan gerrymandering the court has taken on, and the outcome could affect elections across the country. The case will be argued in the fall. The Supreme Court on Monday also ruled unanimously that the federal government's practice of refusing to register trademarks that officials deem offensive is unconstitutional. At issue was an all-Asian American rock band known as the Slants, who were denied a trademark for the name, citing a law denying trademarks that disparage individuals, beliefs, institutions, or national symbols. One day after an American jet shot down a Syrian warplane on Sunday, Russia warned that it would treat U.S. jets in Syrian airspace as, quote, targets. On Twitter, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut pointed out that it was the fourth direct engagement Donald Trump has taken in Syria in less than 2 months, and he accused the president of, quote, starting a new war that Congress has not declared. Georgia's 6th congressional district heads to the polls on Tuesday in the most expensive congressional race in American history, as Democrat John Ossoff heads off against Republican Karen Handel to fill the seat vacated by Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price. The White House press briefing on Monday was again held off camera, and this time reporters were also told that no audio of the briefing could be broadcast. CNN's Jim Acosta showed his frustration on air.
When Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, comes in and just says you can't record the video or audio from these briefings, that wouldn't be tolerated at city council meetings or at a governor's press conference. And here we have the representative of the president of the United States saying, no, you can't cover it that way. I just don't know what we're doing. It's not even like we're covering a White House anymore with Kellyanne Conway and Omarosa in the briefing room off to the side of Sean refusing to be on camera. It's like we're just covering bad reality television is what it feels like now. I got
good. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener supported, and we can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air. You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Hello.
I love that opening. You reached the super duper ultra double secret GOP healthcare bill hotline.
I'm glad I found that number.
Press 1 if you think that when comedians say they've killed, it means they made people laugh. When Republicans say it, it means they've made a new healthcare bill.
Oh, yeah.
Press 2 if you think Republicans are saying their Senate bill keeps Americans healthy because, you see, after hearing what's in it, voters will lose their appetites and drop a few pounds.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Easy. Press 3 if you think we've now gone from don't ask, don't tell to the GOP version, don't ask, we'll never tell.
Oh, yeah.
Have a nice day.
This is getting real. You know, there was a report that I read a week or two ago that I never really shared because I didn't want people getting, you know, confident that this was like they just wanted to get it out of the way because it's never going to go through. But now it's, you know, again, it's Mitch McConnell who is I hate the word sly. He's cagey like a fox. He knows how to work the dirty tricks.
The rules,
you know,
the thing that's
getting me the most is this opposite world thing where they're saying, oh, just what the Democrats did. This is not what the Democrats did. We lived through it. We lived through it for 10 months, writing it in 3 different committees, debating it ad nauseum. The thing that I read from the New York Times, there were 25 days of Senate debate once the bill was all brought together into one, which is more days than the Republicans are going to offer up hours of debate. There was amendment after amendment after amendment, which Republicans voted for, and they gave in to them in order to get the votes. And of course, none of them ever voted for the final bill, but they sure voted for those amendments that made it worse.
Exactly. I was gonna chime in with the amendment thing. I mean, I remember the big debate that was driving me crazy was about the abortion. What is it? The Hyde Amendment. Thing where, you know, we had conservatives that were jumping all over that like it was fine. And the public option going by the wayside while they're inserting more and more conservative amendments or lean, you know, things that would affect the bill conservatively. So, yeah, we had plenty of talk about it. There was plenty of time. There were a lot of town halls where the Republican, I remember, oh my God, I blogged about it so much that I made friends with the people at the town halls who were being abused verbally and even shoved by some of the Tea Partiers.
Yeah, and that went on and on. We remember some of the senators, Blanche Lincoln. Remember her from Louisiana,
yes.
I believe. Mm-hmm. She was a casualty of that whole thing. Ben Nelson, remember him from Nebraska?
Yeah.
I mean, these were the villains of the Affordable Care Act debate because they were conservative Dems who were working with the Republicans who offered up these amendments that made the bill so much worse. Olympia Snow, remember her?
Mm-hmm. So they sure do.
They'd vote for the amendments. So the Democrats, you know, brought these amendments in thinking, all right, then this way we'll get a few Republican votes. And then when it came down to it, none of them voted for it. And so you hear the Republicans saying, well, they pushed through Obamacare and without a single Republican vote. Well, yeah, but they sure as hell got their amendments in there to make the bill worse, you know, pretending like they were going to vote for the final thing. And then at the last minute didn't.
Oh, yeah. And what about Obama going to meet with the Congress members and take questions from them? Remember that?
I do.
When he went, held that special, I don't know, some kind of a meeting or something.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that on TV thinking, wow, he's, you know, he's got guts to do that. At least he's being fair about it. The Republicans, I remember reading a tweet and seeing a video where Chuck Schumer asked McConnell, are we going to have more than 10 hours to talk about this? And he wouldn't answer him.
Right. Well, and it was, it actually, it was, it wasn't John Cornyn. It was, I want to say Orrin Hatch is who was asked. And an aide whispered something to him. And he's like,
Yes.
I think it was Orrin Hatch. Anyway,
it was.
If we get 10 hours, that'll be it. Just what I read from Greg Sargent this morning. Those are the latest details. So there may be something released on Thursday. And the vote will be next Thursday. There will not be a single amendment allowed.
Right.
Not
it's
one
so fair,
amendment.
Isn't it? So nice.
Yeah. And they're saying
government.
And yet they keep saying this is exactly what the Democrats did. And when someone says that to you, you need to shut them down and say, hell no, it isn't. The Democrats debated this thing ad nauseum. It went on for 10 months. 10 months.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's not even close. For them to even begin to argue this is absolutely absurd. It's absolute gaslighting. It's crazy talk. It's opposite world. Everything we've ever said.
That's exactly what it is. Hey, I want to read. Listener Ed in the chat room said, we are organizing Thursday to show up in 15-minute time slots through the day at our senator's office to tell our Republican senator our need for health care. They're going to flood his offices that day in the state. I don't want to say what state it is in case it's being done, you know, surreptitiously. I don't want to give away their surprise. This is all hands on deck time because I'm serious. I will not be able to get my, you know, I'll have my next CAT scan is in October. And frankly, I'm worried that in February I won't be getting one.
Oh, God. Well, I've been using the Resist app all the time, so much where they give you privileges as you do more and more faxing or whatever you choose, you know, they start giving you more options as you sort of become, you know, like your silver member, gold member type of thing.
Oh, wow.
And they are fantastic. It's so easy to do. It takes no time. You know how sometimes you just dread picking up the phone because you're going to get a busy signal?
Yes.
And you're like, okay, I just can't keep calling. I don't have time. It's just a pain in the ass. They already know me. This saves you that trouble. You never get a busy signal and they fax paper things to them.
Okay.
You can also get them to send a letter, an actual, you know, paper letter if you want. You have that option. They have different ways of doing it. They offer them up and it's sort of a friendly app, you know, like they give you little pats on the head and
cool.
stuff like that.
Well, here's the thing. Just, the letter is not good because, again, letters, it takes forever to get to them. Postcards are good, but letters, not so much.
I think they offer that too.
But phone calls really are the best thing you can do. And here's the thing. Phone calls have sort of dried up. We were doing really well, a few months ago, calling all the time. And people, you know, they do it for a little while and they're like, okay, I did my part. No, this has to be nonstop.
If I had a Republican representative, I'd be on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have Democratic representatives who, every time I've called them, I get a thank you letter back saying, yeah, I'm kind of doing that, you know. So, but I do that to encourage them. Like I sent one of the resist faxes to Feinstein saying, hey, thanks for making sure healthcare doesn't go through, you know, that kind of
right.
a letter.
Well, I'll tell you what, if say you live in California where you have two Democratic senators and they're both doing the right thing, you got Kamala Harris and you got Dianne Feinstein, and you want to say call Marco Rubio, or there are 10 states, and gee, I don't have the list in front of me, but I know Lisa Murkowski is one in Alaska. I'll find the list by tomorrow. But where there are more moderate senators that, you know, could be those three, the magic number three that we need to say, no, this is not okay. Then, you know, find somebody, get a zip code from that state and say, you live in whatever town and here's your zip code. You know, you can't tell from the phone anymore because people have out-of-state area codes on cell phones these days. So you can't tell from that. But, you know, if you want to call Marco Rubio and say you live in Florida, look, I'm in Florida. 33071 is my zip code. I live in Coral Springs. You know, that's all you need. So call a state with one of these senators who, I don't think Marco Rubio will do the right thing because he's Marco Rubio after all. But,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. He's the big man who stood up to Trump's tiny fingers by telling jokes and little penis jokes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around and kisses his ass. I mean, it's the same. John McCain talks a great game and does nothing. Lindsey Graham gets out there and beats his chest and does nothing. So, you got to call him and stay all over them. Anyway, if you don't mind, because I've got a billion tabs up in addition to what I sent you, let's do TweetSpot and we can start running down all the stories.
Let's do it.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
Okay.
I love that.
Me too.
Okay. So, Mike Mamoli of the LA Times, and this came up today, by the way, in the Spicer lying session.
And by the way, I need to correct. So when I did What's News, they didn't have an on-camera White House briefing in over a week. The last one was last Monday. And the one yesterday, this Monday, they weren't even allowed to record audio and couldn't play audio. And it got to the breaking point where, you know, enough is enough. I've got some great sound I'll play in a few minutes of Jim Acosta with Brooke Baldwin, more than what I played in What's News. He went off on what are they hiding?
Yeah, exactly.
So today, Sean Spicer did the briefing, but you had, what's his name? Steve Bannon was asked, what's going on? Why is Sean Spicer not doing on-camera briefings? He said, because he gained so much weight. He fat-shamed him.
Fat or something.
Steve Bannon has the nerve to fat-shame anybody?
First of all, you shouldn't fat shame anybody.
No, of course not.
Yeah, you know, pot kettle fat.
All right. Hello.
So Mamoli said, when he was quoting press secretary, when asked whether the White House has seen the current text of the Senate health care bill, and this came up again today, and the same answer was, I've not asked that question. In other words, he doesn't know if Trump, well, first of all, Trump doesn't read, but he doesn't know if Trump has gotten wind of what's in the bill, whether he's looked at. He's an idiot. Okay. Ali Vitale, NBC, on the White House briefing allowing no cameras or audio, which you just referenced. Why is today's briefing off camera? Because POTUS spoke today and will make comments later, so his voice should be the one that speaks, Spicer says.
Which
Jesse Ferguson, who was a former Hillary Clinton spokesman, he replied to that by saying, in other words, when Spicer does a briefing on the same day that POTUS speaks, POTUS gets jealous of Spicer's time on cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Acosta from CNN tweeted on the same topic, the Spicer off-camera, no audio gaggle has begun. I can't show you a pic of Sean, so here's a look at some new socks I bought over the weekend.
Good for him. Well, yeah, I played a little clip of Jim Acosta with Brooke Baldwin in What's News. Here's a little more of that, because he was on a roll. He just went off.
I think.
Is he not having conversations with the president about simple questions like climate change? Do you think he just simply doesn't know? Why isn't he having those conversations with the president?
It's a really good question, Brooke, and it's a question that I would ask, but unfortunately, at this White House, we wouldn't have the video or the audio to show you the answer to that question because of the stonewalling that we're getting over here at the White House. That's the White House behind me, the White House, and it's just, it's bizarre. I don't know what world we're living in right now, Brooke. We're standing at the White House, and they bring us into the briefing room here at the White House, and they won't answer these questions on camera or let us record the audio. I don't know why everybody is going along with this. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it just feels like we're sort of slowly but surely being dragged into what is a new normal in this country, where the President of the United States is allowed to insulate himself from answering hard questions.
I'm telling you, this clip went on for 3.5 minutes with Jim Acosta just going off on them. And obviously, they must have heard it from a lot of people because they did an about face today.
Right. Right. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yes,
By the way, breaking news, just in case you didn't know, there's a suspect was shot after there was an explosion at a Brussels train station.
Oh, God.
So it's all over the news, happening again. Anyway, so we've already covered the healthcare timeline.
Mm-hmm.
That's outdated. So that's the trouble with my tweet spot is sometimes they get outdated before I can tell you about them. Huh? But Chris Hayes reacted. This is quite literally unprecedented. I've run out of adjectives for it. It's like a legislative heist.
Right. And that was the timeline for those who just tuned in, where allegedly the text of this the Senate healthcare bill will be out Thursday, perhaps Thursday or Friday. The CBO will score it by Monday or Tuesday, and then they're planning to vote by next Thursday. And that's what Chris Hayes was reacting to. It is unprecedented, but the Republicans, like John McCain, are going to complain. This is just what the Democrats did. No, it isn't. Okay.
Not even close.
Not even close.
It's not even close. All right. So then Richard Painter, who I'm really beginning to like, he's the former ethics lawyer for George W. Bush,
mm-hmm.
and you know, other than that, he's been good on the Trump stuff. Let's just put it that
yes.
way. His tweet: a poor boy from Queens starts adult life with only $15 million in his pocket, rises to the top, and these rich FBI guys are all picking on
Aww.
Him. Sad.
Oh, that is sad. That is
a little
sad.
Rich orange, right?
I'm from Queens. I lived in Queens my first few years, but I didn't even have $1 million. You know, just a small loan, $1 million. I didn't even have that.
Yeah, you know, some
That's
of us
sad.
Just don't have that kind of pocket change.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're on to today, and I picked out some tweets from today. Hallie Jackson again from NBC, press secretary. Try to get this out. Oh, no, wait. First, let me give you the Trump tweet. This is based on a Trump tweet.
Okay.
Trump just recently tweeted within the last half hour, While I greatly appreciate the efforts of President Xi and China to help with North Korea, it has not worked out. At least I know China tried.
Oh,
and
my
then,
God.
Yes, yes. And then Hallie, I've got two responses. Hallie Jackson said, press secretary in briefing a few minutes before this tweet said the United States would keep working with China to put appropriate pressure on North Korea, which means once again that Trump has contradicted his own spokesperson. Ian Bremmer, mm-hmm. who a political scientist, he says war feels a little more likely. This is troubling.
It is troubling. Not only does war feel more likely with the whole North Korea thing. You got some on the right going, we should do the first strike. Look, I'm sorry that Otto Warmbier died. It's a tragic situation. What the hell was he doing in North Korea anyway? And let me ask you this. Why? Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to travel to Cuba. Why are we allowed to travel to North Korea?
Exactly. That's what everyone's asking. And what about China? And, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of scary places out there that Trump seems to embrace.
Right.
And
but North Korea.
And
right. And Trump, remember, just a couple of months ago said he would be honored to meet Kim mm-hmm. Jong-un
Really? He'd be honored to meet him? And God, the whole thing is so disconcerting. He has a thing for dictators, for strongmen, for despots. This whole thing with Duterte.
Oh, and Duterte, forget it. Oh, my God. The guy kills thousands of people.
Yes. And what's Erdogan in Turkey? I mean, he likes these strongmen dictators, I think, because that's what he aspires to be.
Oh, you know he would kill people if he could. He'd get out there with his, you know, fake gun and say, "Look, what I'm gonna have these people killed. You guys won't have to worry about them anymore." He wasn't kidding when he said he could go out on Fifth Avenue and kill somebody and nobody would care. You know, his followers wouldn't care.
Yep.
He's a sick person, and he gets sicker every week as the pressure is on him. He gets his people need to address his mental illness, because he truly has one. We're not just saying that as hyperbole.
No, and more Meanwhile, and more psychiatrists are actually coming out, and even though it's against the tenets of their profession to diagnose without ever treating or seeing a patient, more and more people are coming out and saying this man has serious personality disorder. He really
does. Seriously. It's scary because our lives are at stake, not just his own.
They are.
Meanwhile, I don't know who this is. Let me see if I... Oh, yeah. Okay, so the senior editor at law.com, Michael Scarsella, I hope that's pronounced right, he tweeted, Chuck Cooper, the SCOTUS lawyer, confirms he's representing Jeff Sessions.
Oh.
So Jeff Sessions has lawyered up.
Okay. Jeff Sessions is lawyered up.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering when that was going to happen. But after his testimony, again, it was deadly bad radio the day when I carried his testimony live. I thought, I thought if it was anything like what's his name, Comey's, that was interesting and fascinating even. But I should have known, because I can't understand Jeff Sessions when he's talking. And I live in the South and I can understand the Southern accent. But Jeff Sessions is like two words and he cuts himself off. And then I couldn't follow him. So I apologize for that. But with all of his, I can't remember, I do not recall. I thought, all right, this guy's going to need a lawyer and fast.
Oh, yeah. And the only really interesting part was when he, took his feather fan and fainting couch and said, I just can't listen to this. I'm under pressure.
You're making me nervous. You're making me nervous. Yeah.
So anyway. All right. So Matthew Miller, who is this MSNBC justice and security analyst. Oh, that was the Sessions thing. Never mind that.
Okay.
I told you that Spicer still doesn't know if Trump has seen the Trump care bill.
Right.
He also says... This is unbelievable. So he's lying. He says he has not talked to, or maybe he hasn't talked to POTUS about whether Russians interfered in the election. This is from Rosie Gray.
Oh,
Rosie Gray being from The Atlantic. That's a bunch of crap. If he hasn't talked to him about whether he believes Russia has interfered. I mean, if nothing else,
then he's
got
not doing his job. Right. Then he's not doing his job. You know, that was the most disconcerting thing to come out of both Comey and Sessions' testimony, is that, Comey said without a doubt, the entirety of the intelligence community in this country knows that the Russians did mess with our elections. Now, they didn't flip votes and they didn't get into the machines, allegedly, but that they tried to interfere and that they did in some respects. And not one question has been asked by this administration on what to do about it, how to prevent it from happening again. Because it's like the old, this is the way Republicans would react when presented with facts that they didn't like. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Well, when it affects them, you'll see a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything else, like Congress with Trump, you know, how they're just sitting on their hands and trying to get their legislation through because they know he'll sign it. Until it affects them, until their poll numbers drop, or if they see the base of support drop for the party or something like that, until their constituents are getting sick and not voting for them, they're going to stick with this. That's why they're pushing through the healthcare thing. They know they can't do it on its merits, so they have to do it in secret, and they have to do it before Trump gets in such trouble that everybody is affected.
Right. No, I
hear you.
That's
what it amounts to.
Yeah.
Okay, so Spicer today said this.
Yes.
He was talking about keeping his job or something. I don't know. And he said, we have.
Well, Spicer is allegedly looking for his replacement to host to run the briefings, where he'll be in a supervisory position over the new communications director that they're still looking for and a new press secretary. So he's supposedly. Yeah, allegedly. So he and they put out a feeler to Laura Ingraham. And
allegedly. Everything's allegedly, because he said, I'm up here. I'm here. I am at the mic.
Oh, God.
So that's what he said today. But here's part of what he said. Quote,
yes,
we have a tremendous respect for the First Amendment, unquote. That's what yes, exactly.
Sure. They
Can
do.
You even believe? OK, then he was talking about the health care bill and he said, the president clearly wants a bill that has heart,
yes,
to which Will Bunch, our pal at Philly.com, said, but not heart coverage.
Oh, boom.
Bam-o.
Touché.
So, yeah.
You got
My reaction was, ha, 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 ha.
All you really need is heart.
That's what somebody else tweeted out, that clip.
Really? From
yes.
Damn Yankees.
Yes.
Yes. I'm showing my age here.
Oh, my goodness. Now, here we have a little news item that's it's from Yahoo.
Okay.
Eric Holder joins the anti-Trump resistance and mulls a presidential campaign of his own.
Oh, God.
To which my follower Bradford Shaw said he represented the worst parts of the Obama administration, protected banksters, anti-public option, whole bit, just go away.
Yep. Give me a break.
Just give me a break. So, but people are already rah-rahing it. I had somebody in my timeline say, yes, oh my God, Kamala Harris.
Oh my God. It's like the people, like the people who were saying, Tulsi Gabbard, because she was a Bernie supporter, doesn't make somebody presidential material. You got to vet the whole person. There's more than one aspect to any potential candidate.
God. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because one of my pet peeves on Twitter is when somebody does something good.
Yeah.
Or even if I say something that they like.
Yeah. Oh, run for president.
Yeah.
No. I want somebody who deserves the job, who is qualified for the position. Speaking of someone who's not qualified for the position, did you hear Jared Kushner speak?
Oh, my God. You mean when he spoke?
Wait, here.
Hi, I'm Jared.
I've got a few seconds of him. His voice is sort of kind of what I expected. I expected a little more nasally, but
civilian agencies maintain over 1.6 million email addresses via on-premise servers, which are maintained by over 40 different contracts, paying on average $20 per user per month. Agencies that have migrated to cloud-based email have seen these costs reduced to as little as $3 per user.
Boy, what a vibrant speaker. Wait, the best part's coming up
here. We are here to improve the day-to-day lives of the average citizen.
Oh, give me a fucking break.
That's a core promise, and we are keeping it.
Yeah. Here to make lives better, improve the lives.
His delivery was as dead as his eyes. He had absolutely no humanity behind any of his words. As far as a public speaker goes, he sucked. I mean, if just from a director's point of view, because I've directed a lot of theater and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as a politically, if he's trying to win people over to listen to him,
No, that was 30 seconds and it felt like 5 minutes. Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it speaks the first time
but
we heard him
gonna
speak.
But he's going to save the Middle East, you know.
Oh, yes. He's Middle East peace. And he's going to fix the VA. And I forget what else they've tasked him with. But yeah.
Everything. If you have a question about something, he's covering it. That's
Jared
it. It's
saves
Jared.
The world. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's mulling a change in his legal team.
Oh yes, he is.
I know.
He is. Mm-hmm. Prince Jared can afford anything, so his legal team will be stellar. Stella.
Well, Trump can afford anything too, and his legal team not so stellar.
Oh, that was hilarious. His lawyer gets up on the Sunday shows and literally said twice Trump is being investigated and then denied
okay,
a second
hold
later.
Hold on. I've got it.
Oh,
just
yay,
the beginning
yay.
Of it. Here we go with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
So he's being investigated for
That's
taking
him.
The action that the attorney general and deputy attorney general recommended him to take by the agency who recommended the termination. So that's the constitutional threshold question here. That's why, investigation.
What's the question? You've stated some facts. First of all, you've now said that he is being investigated after saying that you didn't.
No.
You just said that he's being.
It started, the first words in that clip were that he's being investigated. No, I didn't say he's being investigated. You did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And
it's
it went on
just
like that.
Like Trump's tweet. Trump, I'm being investigated. Da, 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 da.
Right.
He never said he was being investigated. He was referring to a Washington Post article that said he was being investigated.
Right.
So, please. These people, they have no clue. They don't listen to themselves. They don't even know what they're just words. Like if you were to do a cartoon, it would just be letters flowing out of their mouths.
It would be the Charlie Brown teacher. Yeah.
Exactly. It's so pathetic. And it would be even fun to comment on more if it wasn't affecting us. I mean, this is scary stuff. What's going on? They're shooting down. They shot an Iranian drone down today. We did.
Oh, God.
We shot down an Iranian drone. We shot down, as you said in your piece, the Syrian plane.
And now the Russians, they've cut off our, de-escalation hotline,
right.
Basically. And today they flew a plane 5 feet from one of our planes. 5 feet. That's not only like scary, that's downright dangerous. 5 feet. It was 5 feet away. This is not going to end well.
No, it is not. And meanwhile, we're sending thousands more troops to Afghanistan, but they will not reveal the number of people dead. They won't reveal the exact number of people sent over. Nobody knows who's in charge. He said he's putting the military in charge, and yet he said he knows, or Trump knows more than the generals know. So if you just put all this into a blender, it'll be like that old Saturday Night Live sketch with Dan Aykroyd where he throws fish and everything you can think of into a blender. It looks disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It comes out horrible, and we all have to look at it and throw up. So this is what we're. This is
this
our
is
government
where we
now.
Are. Well, you know what? Maybe I won't need that CAT scan in February after all.
Oh, please. Oh, God.
On that note, gotta laugh. We're out of time. Find Gotta Laugh on the Twitters, GOTTALAFF, and of course, the Laffy's Place at NicoleSandler.com. Thanks, Laffy.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tomorrow we'll be back with Helene Olin from The Atlantic. She's got an amazing piece in the current issue on the cost of health care. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm Nicole Sandler. See you next time.
Tuesday, June 20, 2017.
Heat is on this week, and we are expected to see at least 115 degrees or higher.
Record heat wave scorches western U.S.
The health crisis in Flint has created a trust crisis in Michigan government.
New criminal indictments in the Flint water crisis.
Portuguese officials are calling this the greatest wildfire tragedy in recent history.
Massive wildfires in Portugal killed 62. May 2017 was the second or third hottest May ever recorded, plus a court victory and an environmental award for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
All of those victories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Mining coal isn't very good for you. Neither is burning it. It's the reason why there's 1.5 billion people in China, but you can only see 4 of them.
This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, summer has barely begun, and it's already a scorcher out west.
Yeah, it's not just any heat wave. It is a record heat wave scorching the western U.S. The National Weather Service issued an excessive heat warning for cities across the western U.S. this week as the worst heat wave in decades breaks all-time or near all-time heat records from Sacramento to Tucson, Arizona. At Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, some flights have already been canceled because excessive heat makes planes lose lift. It's serious enough that officials in Arizona have warned residents, quote, don't go outside in the middle of the day unless you really must.
They are pushing temperatures of nearly 120 degrees in the desert in Phoenix right now.
Yeah, it's bad. Killer heat waves could become the new normal with global warming. That's according to a new study from the University of Hawaii. Analyzing data on deadly heat waves going back to the 1980s, the researchers project an alarming increase in the number of deadly heat days on every single continent with global warming. At current rates of fossil fuel emissions, AP reports that by the end of the century, the southern United States could expect to see sustained lethal temperatures all summer long, and some tropical regions could face deadly heat conditions nearly all year round. But the researchers say by then, hopefully, people will learn to adapt. The impacts extend beyond heat to wildfires. In Portugal over the weekend, massive, fast-moving wildfires fueled by record heat killed at least 62 people, many of them trapped in their cars by fast-moving flames as they tried to evacuate. Meanwhile, May 2017 was the second hottest May on record globally since record-keeping began in the 1880s. That's according to data from NASA. But it was the third hottest May on record according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which uses a slightly different temperature data set. But no matter how you measure it, global warming is continuing. In the Flint water crisis, Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette has charged two high-ranking state health officials on new felony charges, including misconduct in office and involuntary manslaughter. The new charges stem from an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease that killed 12 people and sickened 70, which occurred at the same time as widespread lead contamination, resulting from a state-appointed emergency manager switching the city's water source. But officials never informed residents about either issue. Attorney General Schuette said he hopes the ongoing investigation will help restore accountability and trust in government.
Schuette seems to be rounding up a lot of people in this investigation and bringing criminal charges. And I should note here, he's a Republican, but he hasn't yet worked his way up to the governor of Michigan, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Hopefully he's headed in that direction.
Good news for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in North Dakota in its fight against the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline. A U.S. District Court judge on Friday ordered the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to reconsider its environmental review of the pipeline, ruling that the Corps failed to consider environmental justice or the impacts of an oil spill on the tribe's fishing and hunting rights when it suddenly reversed course earlier this year and approved the pipeline after an executive order from President Donald Trump.
Now, the court could have stopped it before that oil started flowing, right?
Yes, he could have.
And yet, the court waited until after the oil was flowing to say they didn't do the environmental review correctly.
That's right.
Well, let's hope that pipeline doesn't start leaking before the court makes its next ruling.
More good news. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has also received the first ever Henry Wallace Award, a $250,000 grant from the Wallace Global Fund for their courage and persistence in standing up for environmental justice in their pipeline fight. The Wallace Global Fund also pledged an additional investment of up to $1 million to help the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and other tribes transition to 100% renewable energy.
Good for them. They deserve it. We all owe the Standing Rock Sioux a debt of gratitude. For much more on those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.